Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Aesthetic Insider Radio. This is your host, Angela O'Mara. In this insightful interview today, we have Dr. Jacob Hayabi, a cosmetic surgeon who practices at Inland Cosmetic Surgery in Rancho Cucamonga, California. One of the most important things in the practice of Dr. Hayabi is what he considers his natural Hayabi look and appearance for all patients that delivers vibrant, youthful, precision results, but with natural aesthetic balance. There are several different procedures that we're going to talk about today, one of which is the Tubo, which is for breast enhancement, the Inland Innie, which is for mommy makeover, tummy tuck, and belly button repair procedures, as well as facelift and just other types of cosmetic treatments that in Dr. Hayabi's practice is truly created by delivering this natural result. Dr. Hayabi, welcome to Aesthetic Insider Radio. It's a pleasure to have you on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be on with you, Angela.
Absolutely. Well, before we kind of go into, you know, the practice and this natural cosmetic look that you provide, you know, can you take a few minutes for those listeners who might not be familiar with you just to tell us about yourself, who you are, and where you're located and the focus of your practice?
Sure. Yeah, we're located in Southern California in Rancho Cucamonga, and I've been in practice here for the past 19 years. We have a state-of-the-art freestanding outpatient surgery center where we perform all of our procedures. And my training was mostly done in New York, residency and medical school, and fellowship that followed, specifically concentrated in cosmetic surgery in Texas. And I started practicing here in the year 2000, and time flies. Here we are, 2019. I do have a fellowship program that's accredited by the American Academy of Cosmetic Surgery, and I train other surgeons in cosmetic surgery as well, which is very satisfying and professionally keeps me at the edge, which I like.
Absolutely. And I understand at one point in your career you were actually the president of the California Academy of Cosmetic Surgery, which is a very prestigious opportunity for any practicing physician.
Yes, that was a privilege to serve the CACS as the president and also the American Board of Cosmetic Surgery, which is a national organization, and it was a great opportunity to see how these organizations work and help enhance the education and training of the surgeons of the future.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk about your practice and the motto of Inland Cosmetic Surgery, look your best, feel your best, and this natural approach to cosmetic surgery. You know, can we talk just about what that approach is and how you and the other physicians in your practice all follow that philosophy?
Yes, of course. You know, cosmetic surgery, whether it is for the face, breast, or body, a lot of patients that are considering it are, of course, scared of looking unnatural, especially when it comes to face procedures, which, you know, are visible and you can't hide. And from the beginning and throughout my training, the stress was to make sure whether it is where we place our incisions or the technique of where we're enhancing, whether we're enlarging or making structures smaller or elevating things that have sagged over time, to make sure that it looks very natural. So that type of philosophy has really penetrated my thinking about every part of every procedure that I do, and the techniques that I've become accustomed to that produce the results that we get are all geared towards producing a nice natural result to make the patient look great and feel great without, you know, and anybody else knowing it, really. Most of my patients, whether they have breast enhancement, you know, a mommy makeover or a facelift, will get lots of compliments, but the people giving them the compliments won't know what type of procedure they had. They'll make comments like, oh, you look so refreshed. You know, did you change your makeup? Did you change your hair color? Or did you lose weight? You know, comments like that that makes the patient feel, of course, good about themselves. But they don't say things like, oh, what did you do to yourself? You look different. You know, those are not the comments that we want after we perform a cosmetic procedure. So that's really what it means, natural, you know, natural by Hayavi. And that's what we thrive for. And that's what I teach my fellows during the fellowship. Those are the types of results that our patients want and really make us successful.
Now, do you ever have, you know, I mean, like I would imagine the majority of people want also, you know, patients coming in also want to look natural and don't really want, I mean, they want to see a visual improvement, you know, they want to see a difference, but they still want to look like themselves.
Right.
Do you ever have a patient comes in when you know that their ideal and what they're asking for might not give that natural result? And if so, how would you handle that?
Yes, that happens occasionally, and we do have patients that come in with some unrealistic expectations. What we do usually is we'll discuss the procedure and options after the patient tells us what they're concerned about, and then we show them some before and after pictures. And when it comes to nose surgery, specifically rhinoplasty, we'll actually take their picture and do morphing, where we change the image on the computer, and we'll do that morphing to what looks, you know, natural and achievable in the operating room. And if we see that the patients, you know, want more drastic results, we'll make the changes, and then I'll make sure that they see that may be unrealistic, it may be too much, or if, you know, we're showing them before and after pictures, and let's say I have a picture that, in my opinion, looks average, and a picture, in my opinion, looks like an excellent result, and the patient says, oh, no, you know, that doesn't look good enough. I think I want something more. Then I will have a discussion with them that say that is unrealistic, and, you know, that is not something that we can achieve in surgery, and I think you would be setting yourself up for a disappointment. So, either, you know, two scenarios can happen. Either the patient realizes that they're unrealistic and they change their, you know, way they're thinking about their procedure, or that they move on and find another person to do their surgery. I find that, you know, with a good explanation and understanding, patients usually do choose the natural results, and they want a realistic result and enhancement. But sometimes, that's a minority of the case. I would say 2-3% of the patients are unrealistic, and then we just I'll refuse to do surgery. I'll just tell them that I cannot achieve those results for them.
Yeah, yeah. And I would say that's kind of industry standard, is, you know, the majority of people do want a natural result, and then there is the one, you know, that you do see, that one person that everybody sees and says, well, they've had, you know, plastic surgery, and it's really obvious. You know, but I think most people don't want to be that person. So, but it's good to hear how you actually manage that type of a situation. Now, with the procedures that you offer, what would you say, and in the procedures that, you know, we have discussed about talking about today, would you feel is kind of a signature to you technique that, you know, perhaps we can talk about in depth a bit more?
Yeah, there are a few procedures that we're well known for. One of them is the transumbilical breast augmentation, so the belly button breast augmentation, as well as our mommy makeovers with the way we recreate the belly button. We actually ended up trademarking it a couple of years ago. We call it an inland innie because we get so many referrals and compliments for our belly button. And the natural results we achieve with our facelift. So those are probably the top three procedures in my practice.
Well, let's talk about, you know, the tuba, you know, breast technique that you just mentioned, because, you know, there are several different methods of, you know, performing a breast augmentation surgery. And so, you know, it would be great if you can offer our listeners a little bit more of an in-depth about the tuba and describe it and explain, you know, the difference in that and other, you know, breast augmentation techniques.
Right. So what's unique about the belly button breast augmentation is that the incision is far away from the breast. It's inside the belly button and it's hidden. So there are no signs of an enhancement on the breasts themselves, and patients look very natural. Because the procedure is done with blunt instruments, we're basically using special instruments to create a space underneath the pectoralis major muscle, and then we expand that space with expanders and do the dissection endoscopically. And once the dissection is done, then we put in the implants. The only limitation to this procedure is that it can only be done with saline implants. Unfortunately, we cannot expand silicone implants inside the body. They come in pre-filled, so we cannot put them into a small incision. But saline implants can be rolled in into a thin cigar-like or a taco-like structure, and they can be very easily tunneled up to the pocket that we create underneath the muscle in the breast, and we can fill them at the time of surgery. You know, overall, I've done thousands of these, probably close to 5,000 now, belly button breast augmentations, and the patients are, you know, very happy with the results. They settle naturally into their pockets. In general, they have less discomfort after surgery. They have no restrictions in the movement of their arms, and they regain their sensation faster. Of course, other techniques can achieve great results as well, whether we make an incision under the fold or around the areola. You know, patients can get very good results as well, but sometimes there can be a visible scar, and it's a telltale sign of a surgery that has been performed.
How and why did you start performing the tuba procedure? Were you doing that before you did other techniques with the breast, or was this, you know, kind of you've been doing some breast procedures, you had learned and developed the breast, the tuba, or how did that kind of come about?
Yeah, good question. It actually, I got interested in it when I was in my fellowship training in Texas with Dr. Tobin, and he did not perform the procedure. He was performing majority of the breast augmentations through the axilla, actually, and that's a very nice technique as well. But I found out that the patients had a little bit more difficulty with raising their arms the first week, and maybe a little bit more discomfort. And I visited a surgeon in Dallas-Fort Worth. His name was Dr. Miles. And God bless his soul, Dr. Miles has since passed. But I saw the tuba procedure in his office first. And I thought, wow, what a nice technique of putting in the implants. And then I came out to California and visited Dr. Leventhal and saw him and spent time with him doing the technique, and he really taught me his way of doing it. And then over the years, I joined Dr. Leventhal in practice eventually and took over the practice in 2003. I developed my own little variations of how I do it, and you know, that has become my technique for the past 15, 16 years. But it's just a transformation. You know, when you watch a good procedure and you like it, you end up spending more time studying and perfecting that technique, and you end up with your own little nuances that, you know, make the procedure better for you. And that's what happened with me and the transumbilical breast augmentation.
Now, is the tuba breast augmentation procedure suitable for all patients?
No, it's not suitable for all patients. You know, it's suitable for majority of patients, but patients that have tuberous breasts or have ribcage abnormalities or any type of a scar that would be along the line of our tunnels from the belly button to the breast would not be a good candidate for a tuba procedure. But let's say a young woman that has small breasts and has normal anatomy, or someone that had a a child or two and has breastfed and now has lost volume in their breast but still has enough thickness to cover the implants, those would be perfect candidates for the procedure.
And how fast is recovery? Compared with other breast augmentation procedures?
You know, regardless of the incision, I recommend a week off of work and 3 weeks of non-strenuous activity. But I can say that the majority of my tuba patients are back to work within 4 or 5 days, and they do very well, and they just seem more comfortable a lot faster than the other patients.
That's great. Now we're about halfway through our show, and I know we have some other, you know, exciting techniques that we want to talk about. And so I'd love to hear more about the inland innie and the mommy maker that you mentioned earlier.
Yeah, so as you know, the mommy makeovers are fairly common procedures because women after childbearing, their bodies do change, their breasts atrophy, and sometimes their skin stretches and they develop stretch marks and loose skin in the lower abdomen. So oftentimes we'll combine breast augmentation and tummy tuck, or a variation of breast augmentation and lift and a tummy tuck and some lipo, and those are called mommy makeovers. The two things that make us special with our mommy makeovers is that we can combine the belly button breast augmentation and a tummy tuck, and again that no cuts on the breast at all. The incision is around the belly button for the breast augmentation and the tummy tuck, and just a lower bikini incision for removal of skin. And the way that we transplant the belly button for the patient is unique. I've developed this technique where we reshape their own belly button and create a nice small innie, and all the scars fall inside the hood of the belly button. So once the patient is healed, a few months after surgery, you can't even see the scars. The scars heal so nicely, and the belly buttons look very natural. So patients really like that because, if you can see a scar, a star-shaped scar around the belly button, it's obvious that you had something done. But with our tummy tucks, patients, look very natural. Their lower scar is hidden in their bikini line, and their belly button doesn't have a visible scar. So they look very nice and taut, without, giving away any sign of having any surgery. So we get a lot of referrals for those. And like I said, last year we decided to trademark our belly buttons and call it the Inland Innie because we really get so many compliments and referrals because of it.
You know, and I love to hear this because I feel like these procedures that you're talking about is as well as kind of, serving double duty, if you will, because you're going in through the belly button for the breast and you're enhancing the belly button at the same time on the mommy makeover procedure. But both of them seem to really correlate with your approach to the natural look, in that there's no resulting scars on the breast, and nor in the tummy tuck. So I really find it quite beautiful that you've been able to really bring your philosophy and approach into your actual surgical result and delivery. So kudos for that.
Thank you. Yes. We do our best to make every patient look very natural. And really what our model says, look and feel their best.
Absolutely. And how now, with the moms, do you find that one mom speaks to another mom and refers patients over to you, or how do the patients find you? For these
procedures. Majority of our patients really come through word of mouth. So I would say 85 to 90% of the patients I see are referrals from other patients or doctors. And I've had sister-in-laws, I've had mothers, daughters, I've even had mothers, daughters, and granddaughters that have had surgery by me.
That's right.
I've had twin sisters with their husbands, and I've had twin brothers with their wives. So lots of combinations. But that's how the practice really grows. It's really by patient referrals. Happy patients refer other patients, and I'm very blessed to have a really good population of patients that keep referring other patients to me.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Now let me ask you, because I understand that with a mommy makeover, you know that the breast and the belly and the tummy, you know, is important. Do you ever kind of, you know, include any liposuction or any other treatments in with that type of a makeover? Do some moms need that perhaps after having a baby?
Yes, we do include. Usually, we do include some liposuction, especially in the waist region. Sometimes we'll do liposuction on the back and hips. So depending on what the mommies need, we'll propose a treatment plan that addresses the areas of concern and addresses what we want to create, which is a nice silhouette, a nice flow from their breasts to their waist to their hips and buttock and tummy region. So really want to address all of those areas when we do it. And we talk about all of that, and the patients choose a treatment plan that fits them the best, and we go forward. There is, though, limitation to how much lipo we can do at the same time we do a tummy tuck. We cannot, because we're cutting below in the bikini area, we're cutting on the blood vessels that come up and feed that piece of skin, large piece of skin, and we depend on the vessels that come from above. So we cannot do aggressive liposuction on the upper portion of the abdomen. So that area we have to be conservative. And if the patient has a lot of excess bulk in that area, we'll either help him lose the weight before surgery or offer to do some liposuction 6 months or a year after the surgery to help them thin out that portion. But majority of people do well. Yeah.
That's great. I mean, that is kind of a possible complication that I had never heard before, and so I think it's wonderful that you address any concerns in that area and don't do anything that could be potentially risky to the patient.
Yes, of course. We always want to reap the most benefits with the minimal risk, so we discuss all of that at the time of consultation.
Quick question back on the inland innie. Is that a procedure that's exclusively for women? Is it suitable for some men also? Or
no, it is. It's suitable for men too. You know, with the advent of laparoscopic gastric banding and bypass surgery, and also I've seen really a number of patients that have lost over 100 pounds just with diet and exercise and changing their habits. Those men also have a problem of having excess skin in their abdomen and torso and other parts of the body. So we do the same technique really for men to create a very nice natural innie when we do their tummy tucks and body contouring. And we try and hide the scars the same way we do for women to make sure that they look nice and aesthetic and they're comfortable in their skin, you know. And so it's not just for women. I've done it on men too. Same results, and they're very happy with those types of surgeries.
That's fantastic. Yeah, I actually hadn't considered, you know, the extreme weight loss patient, you know, in correlation with the types of cosmetic procedures we're talking about in the mommy makeover. So that's wonderful that there's something there for the guys too.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Hayabi, you know, we do have about 5 or 6 more minutes left on our show, and I would like to discuss some of the facial rejuvenation procedures and treatments or facelifts options that you offer your patients. So can we discuss those a little bit, and can you explain to our listeners, you know, what facial rejuvenation procedures and treatments you do offer?
Yes, of course. For facial rejuvenation, we do a slew of procedures, including endoscopic brow lifts, eyelid surgery. I do rhinoplasty and nasal surgery, as well as facelift and neck lift. And I'll tell you one of the things that years ago, I remember being interviewed, and they asked me, what do you think is the best filler on the market? And it was just about the time when Restylane was coming out, and I said fat. And the person interviewing me asked, fat, what do you, you know, she was surprised. And I said, yes, fat is the best filler and the oldest filler on the market, and everybody has plenty of it. So, I mean, oftentimes when I'm doing facial rejuvenative procedures, I will add fat transfer because, you know, in the process of aging, it's not only that our skin sags and we lose elasticity, but there are studies now that show that we lose volume in our face. There are more than 20 pockets of fat in our face, and we end up, as we age, losing about 1 to 3 cc's a year. And so it is natural to replace it with the person's own fat. The caveat with fat is that not all the fat survives. About 50% of it survives and 50% goes away, and it depends on the area that we're transplanting the fat. But it really looks very natural and enhances the results. So if I'm doing a facelift and neck lift, I would say about 95% of the time I'm doing some fat transfer to the eyelids, cheeks, maybe the nasolabial folds, or the lips, or wherever the patient needs it. So that really has enhanced the results of my facial rejuvenation as well. And just like the other techniques where we are trying to hide the scars, you know, for brow and forehead elevation, I usually do in the endoscopic technique where the incisions are hidden in the hairline. So we use a telescope at about 4 millimeters. It's small. And we can do the entire surgery through that telescope, and it looks really great. Everything is magnified 5 times. We can see all the structures very well on a big screen, and we can protect them and do a very nice surgery.
And that goes right in line with your natural results, because, of course, if you're doing an endoscopic brow lift, any of the tiny incisions that you would have to make would be hidden in the hairline.
Yes.
Yes. So perfect. Perfect.
Yeah, I've had professionals, other doctors, chiropractor, and people that, you know, cannot take too much time off of work, and you know, we've done these procedures on them, and they've been surprised, especially the chiropractor. He came back to me and I said, you know, I treat patients and they're looking at me, you know, I'm standing over them, and everybody said I look great. Nobody noticed my scars. Nobody told me what did I have done. They just said that I look good, and I'm really grateful for that. So, you know, that just made me feel good that we're doing a good job making people look natural.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, let me ask you, you know, one last question here. Everybody experiences, you know, the physical changes of aging, and many of us, of course, decide, you know, we're going to do something about it. So from the procedures that we have talked about today, you know, how do you find a patient, you know, who's perhaps never had any type of aesthetic or cosmetic treatment or surgical treatment, when and how do they decide it's time to consult with you, Dr. Hayavi?
That's a good question. You know, it depends on the patient, of course. If there is something that bothers them, if there's something that they're thinking about on a daily basis, and, you know, oftentimes the patients will tell me, I look in the mirror and I ask myself, who's that person? You know, if that's happening, I would recommend doing some research online. There are so many websites and a lot of information online about cosmetic procedures now. It's not a taboo anymore to have cosmetic surgery. People can go on our website, and we have information on all of these procedures that we talked about. And once I've done some research, I would recommend scheduling a few consultations just to hear different opinions. I mean, different surgeons may have different approaches to how they do breast augmentation or tummy tuck or facelifts or any of the procedures that we offer. And it's good to have different opinions. And really, when it comes down to it, you really have to pick the surgeon that you feel the most comfortable with, because, you know, let's face it, cosmetic surgery is still surgery. So complications can happen. There is recovery. There is, you know, downtime. So the person deciding on this has to be realistic. and make sure that they are willing to undertake all of those risks to reap the benefits, and also make sure that they're comfortable, that if there is a complication that comes up, their surgeon is going to be there and they'll be able to communicate to him or her and they'll be able to get through it together. So that's something that I tell all my patients. You know, we discuss all the options, but we also go over downtime, risk and complications, and I let them know that if something happens, we're going to be there for them every step of the way to make sure that they're fine.
Well, I think at the end of the day, as we've kind of, you know, we've led throughout the article, it's on, you know, it's the natural result, it's the safety and security of the patient, and ultimately, you know, when you tell us that, you know, most of your patients are coming from referrals from other happy patients, and you've built your practice in the Inland Empire based on that philosophy, then the patients that come to you have obviously selected the right surgeon.
Thank you so much.
I appreciate
your kind words.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Dr. Hayabi, if any of our listeners or our audience would like to contact you at Inland Cosmetic Surgery, what is the best phone number or website or email that they can reach you?
Sure, yeah. They can always call us and talk to us. Our telephone number is 909-987-0899. And we have a lot of information on our website. They can also send us an email through the website. The website is called inlandcosmetic.com. So no S at the end, inlandcosmetic.com. And we'll be happy to reach out to them and answer their questions.
Great. Well, Dr. Jacob Hayabi of Inland Cosmetic Surgery, thank you so much for being on Aesthetic Insider Radio. I'd love to have you back on the show as a guest at some time in the future. And thank you. I think our listeners have really enjoyed hearing what you have to say.
Thank you so much, Angela. Thank you for having me on the program. It was a pleasure.
Absolutely. Well, thank you and have a great day.
You too. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.